We begin with politics this hour. It's long been a feature of the American electoral process. During the primaries, candidates court their party's base. But once they have the nomination, then they court the political center to actually win the White House. Ronald Reagan did it brilliantly in the 1980s. Bill Clinton did it brilliantly in the 1990s. George W. Bush actually made a virtue of expressing irreconcilable positions to his base and then the center in both of his campaigns for the White House. So when Romney, Mitt Romney, communications director Eric Fernstrom answered a CNN question yesterday, he was, it seemed to me, stating the obvious.
Is there a concern that the pressure from Santorum and Gingrich might force the governor to tack so far to the right it would hurt him with moderate voters in the general election?
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an etch-a-sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
Now, aside from dating himself in the 60s there, Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich both armed themselves with etch-a-sketches, which they probably got on eBay, during their day's speeches, blasting Romney as a flip-flopper and a moderate for making that statement or having his communications director make the statement. Romney spent the rest of the campaign day on the defensive, promising he would not change his conservative course if he becomes the Republican nominee, essentially pledging not to go for the center in November against Barack Obama. It seems like there needs to be a referee in the GOP to settle the combat and get back to the business of cultivating actual voters. Where are the village elders, you might say? And that's exactly the question that Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, the political website of our partner WNYC, is asking. Anna, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Was this that big of a deal, what Eric Fernstrom said on CNN?
Well, on the one hand, you're saying it's obvious campaigns do hit reset for a general election, but it is not good because it just confirms what all of Romney's critics have been saying about him, that he's unprincipled, that he'll say whatever it takes to get elected. And we've heard that not only from his Republican challengers, but also from the Democratic National Committee consistently. And so now you have the campaign saying it. And it's also not good because this was the day after Mitt Romney's decisive victory in the Illinois primary, where his challengers should have been answering to questions about delegate math. And instead, they got to gleefully hold up etch-a-sketches and, you know.
I just wonder if these political stunts upstage the other important fact that the Jeb Bush, who is a political player, if not the most decisive and national figure right now, but he's certainly a significant individual. He endorsed Mitt Romney.
He endorsed Mitt Romney. And I don't think it was just the etch-a-sketch that we had this muted effect of that. I mean, Jeb Bush, it is a big deal in one sense because his name is one that has consistently come up with Republicans who've been unhappy with the field. Maybe Jeb Bush will get in. And he withheld his endorsement before the Florida primary. So him saying yesterday, it's time, let's all unite behind our Republican nominee, Mitt Romney. That's significant. However, there is something happening in the Republican Party that's been a long time coming, and that is the declining influence of these party elders, their ability to sort of speak to the base and say, okay, come on, follow our lead. This is the guy.
I mean, there's a passing of the torch that's absolutely inevitable within the GOP. The Democrats went through it in the 1970s to horrible results electorally. I mean, the Reagan era was really brought on by George McGovern in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even given that Richard Nixon was impeached, still the Republicans were ascendant in the 70s and the 1980s. But I guess what party leaders have typically done is mediate this problem with the primaries versus the general. That, yes, you have to go for the base in the primaries, so you skew conservative if you're the GOP nominee or candidate, and you go for the center. And it's the party elders that sort of, hey, don't pay attention to this. We're developing a candidate here. That seems to be absent right now, mediating.
Their ability to mediate has been undermined by the Republican Party itself, because in building power, one of the consistent themes they've gone back to is Washington is not on your side. Don't trust the people in power. And so, in effect, that's created this sense that's undermined their party elders. This is how Jeffrey Cabaservice, a historian, described it to me. He's his recent book is called Rule and Ruin, and it's a history of moderate Republicanism.
I think we're in a unique moment historically because we're seeing the final consequences in some ways of this drive to make the Republican Party into an ideological vehicle rather than a coalition of ideological views. And by empowering this populist conservative base, you really get this very anti-establishment dynamic within the Republican Party itself. And Republicans are actually supposed to support authority.
Interesting. And, you know, Cabaservis, I mean, he's a historian who goes back to the Eisenhower era, so he knows what he's talking about here.
And he's saying this is not new, but this is kind of the sort of final stage of this effort to sort of undermine, you know, anti-establishment views, and now we're seeing it in its sort of final form.
Well, what do players say, people who we might have thought of as individuals who were sort of elders, strategists, people who were a part of the sort of think of the GOP even a generation ago?
Well, one really interesting voice I talked to, Babe Buchanan.
Sure.
She is a veteran of the Reagan campaigns and then ran her brother Pat Buchanan's campaign against George H.W. Bush in 1992. And she talked about, I asked her about this, what is happening here? We've heard so much about Ronald Reagan, but among the living presidents, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, they certainly don't seem to have power among the base in terms of their endorsement power. And this is what she said to me.
We rejected many of the decisions of the two Bushes as conservatives. We saw government get bigger and bigger, and that's an anathema to a conservative. Some of the conservatives actually got in line and did the bidding for him, and so we were very anti-establishment, because the establishment, even the conservatives in Washington, voted for those things that made government bigger.
So you have these two things happening at once. You have these anti-establishment, you know, themes that have kind of really taken hold at the base.
Who are mimicking what Babe Buchanan did a generation ago,
exactly,
oddly enough.
Exactly. And then you have the last two living Republican presidents. George H.W. Bush never excited social conservatives, and George W. Bush has since been rejected because of the increasing debt during his presidency.
You know, the conservative voice that I most love and I think is most interesting on this subject is Alan Simpson, former Wyoming senator who got out of the Senate because he thought it was no fun there. Listen to what he says about the campaign.
I mean, they give each other the saliva test of purity and then they lose. But then in losing, all they do is for 4 years. That's what's wrong with America. It's how to stir everybody up. And it's a sick thing to watch for a guy that loved working with the other side. And the word compromise doesn't mean you're a wimp. You learn to compromise an issue without compromising yourself. Good Lord.
Good Lord, is he suggesting Barack Obama's second term there?
No, he's supporting Mitt Romney. So you have this primary campaign where Babe Buchanan and Al Simpson are behind the same candidate.
Interesting.
But
the elders speak.
The activist base is not falling behind.
Out of left field, to put you on the spot as we always do, if Etch-a-Sketch is for Mitt Romney, what would you put for Gingrich? Chia Pet?
No comment.
No toy there?
No toy. Not
Rick
going
Santorum,
there.
G.I. Joe?
Not going
Come
there.
On. Anna Sale from It's a Free Country. Political website for our partner, WNYC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.